The ghostly dwarf gave a cough. "We're getting paid for this number, right?" he said.
"You'll get the universe."
"And free beer?" Buddy held the guitar to him. His eyes met Susan's. He raised his hand and played. The single chord ran out across the gorge and echoed back with strange harmonics.
"Thank you," said Death.
He stepped forward and took the guitar. He moved suddenly and smashed the thing against a rock. The strings parted, and something accelerated away towards the snow and the stars. Death looked at the wreckage with some satisfaction.
"Now that's music with rocks in,"
he snapped his fingers. The moon rose over Ankh Morpork. The park was deserted. The silver light flowed over the wreckage of the stage and the mud and half-consumed sausages that marked the spot where the audience had been. Here and there it glinted off broken sound traps. And after a while, some of the mud sat up and spat out some more mud.
"Crash? Jimbo? Scum?" it said.
"Is that you, Noddy?"
said a sad shape hanging from one of the stage's few remaining beams. The mud pulled some more mud out of its ears.
"Right, where's Scum?"
"I think they threw him into the lake."
"Is Crash alive?"
There was a groan from under a heap of wreckage.
"Pity," said Noddy, with feeling.
A figure emerged out of the shadows, squelching. Crash half-crawled, half-fell out of the rubble.
"You've got to admit," he mumbled,
because at some stage in the performance a guitar had hit him in the teeth.
"That wolf, music with Roxine."
"All right," said Jimbo and slithered off his beam. "But next time, thanks all the same, I'd rather try sex and drugs." "My dad said he'd kill me if I took drugs," said Noddy.
"This is your brain on drugs," said Jimbo.
"No, this is your brain, Scum, on this lump here."
"Oh, cheers, thanks."
"A painkiller would be favourite right now," said Jimbo.
A little closer to the lake, a heap of sacking slid sideways.
"Arch-Chancellor?"
"Yes, Mr. Stibbons?"
I think someone trod on my hat."
"So what?"
It's still on my head."
Ridcully sat up, easing the ache in his bones.
"Come on, lad," he said. "Let's go home. I'm not sure that I'm interested in music anymore. It's a world of hurts."
A coach rattled along the winding mountain road. Mr. Cleet was standing on the box, whipping the horses. Satchelmouth got unsteadily to his feet. The cliff edge was so close he could see right down into the darkness.
I've just had about altogether too much of this by half," he shouted, and tried to snatch at the whip.
"Stop that! We'll never catch up with them!" shouted Cleet.
So what? Who cares? I liked their music."
Cleet turned. His expression was terrible.
"Traitor!"
The butt end of the whip caught Satchelmouth in the stomach. He staggered back, clutched at the edge of the coach, and dropped. His outflung arm caught hold of what felt like a thin branch in the darkness. He swung wildly over the drop until his boots got a purchase on the rock, and his other hand gripped a broken fence post. He was just in time to see the cart rumble straight on. The road, on the other hand, curved sharply. Satchelmouth shut his eyes and held on tight until the last scream and crackle and splinter had died away. When he opened them, it was just in time to see a burning wheel bounce down the canyon.
"Blimey," he said. "It was lucky there was something."
His gaze went up and up.
"Yes, it was, wasn't it?"
Mr. Cleet sat up in the ruins of the cart. It was clearly very much on fire. He was lucky, he told himself, to have survived that. A black-robed figure walked through the flames. Mr. Cleet looked at it. He'd never believed in this sort of thing. He never believed in anything. But if he had believed, he would have believed in someone bigger. He looked down at what he thought was his body and realised that he could see through it and that it was fading away.
"Oh, dear," he said. That.
The figure grinned and swung its tiny scythe. Much later on, people went down into the canyon and sorted out the remains of Mr. Cleet from the remains of everything else. It wasn't very much. There were suggestions that he was some musician. Some musician had fled the city or something, hadn't he? Or was that something else? Anyway, he was dead now, wasn't he? No one took any notice of the